This is a download from BFM 89.9. The business station.
In the meantime, though, taking a look at some international headlines, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson held a series of meetings with EU counterparts this week to discuss Brexit. He met with French President Emmanuel Macron yesterday, as well as German Chancellor Angela Merkel the day before.
So Macron took a somewhat conciliatory tone with Boris Johnson and said that UK's decision to leave the EU must be respected. And he also emphasised that the Irish backstop is at the moment indispensable.
Now, what's this backstop, you know, because we keep hearing about it, right? But everybody's like, what does it mean, you know? So, actually, the backstop just refers to a hard border on the island of Ireland after Brexit. So, it's the border between Ireland and Northern Ireland. So, for Brexiteers like Johnson, they are opposed to the mechanism because they see it as a means of keeping the UK in the union indefinitely. But at the same time, Boris Johnson and Angela Merkel did express optimism that they could resolve this issue during the meeting, and then a workable solution could be found in 30 days.
Now, we are 2 months away from the Halloween deadline for Brexit. And to explore this further, on the line with us, we have Professor Simon Tormey, a professor of politics at the University of Sydney. Thank you for joining us, Professor. So has Boris Johnson made any progress that you've seen since he stepped into office?
No, not really. Everything is pretty much as it was. I think, however, that Johnson managed to impress both the press at home and Europeans that he is a kind of positive figure. He didn't actually have a very good reputation as a foreign secretary, but I think as prime minister, he's come in, he's tried to be upbeat and friendly with Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron, and people have noticed that, and I think he got a good reception. But the problem for him is that both Macron and Merkel said exactly the same thing, that there isn't going to be any change to this Northern Ireland backstop issue, and therefore Britain will probably leave on a no-deal basis on 31st of October.
And Professor, an official from Emmanuel Macron's office has said that France believes a no-deal exit is now the most likely scenario. How likely do you think that, you know, is, and what kind of ramification will a no-deal Brexit have on UK and the EU?
Well, basically the dynamic of this is going to be that it's up to the British Parliament to really overturn Boris Johnson and force a general election, because it's very clear now, I mean, we've been looking at this closely over the last 4 or 5 weeks since Boris Johnson has been in power. The EU has not changed its line at all. There is absolutely no sign there that they're going to renege on the backstop, or they're going to water it down, or they're going to open the 585-page withdrawal agreement. I really don't think there's any hope there. So those who are really opposed to a no-deal Brexit, they've got to look to Jeremy Corbyn, and they've got to look to Joe Swinson and the other forces in the House of Commons to force a vote of no confidence in the House of Commons, which may spark a general election. So I think that's where the action's going to play out. Once Parliament is back from its recess week beginning the 2nd of September, then we'll see the sparks fly in British politics. If that doesn't work out, in other words, if the forces opposed to a no-deal Brexit don't get their act together, and there's a pretty strong chance they won't, then I think the British bus goes over the cliff, and it's going to be utter and complete chaos for quite a long time. The scale of what's going to happen, let me just give you one example. 90,000 lorries pass every day from Dover to Calais and back again. So all those car components, the agriculture, pharmaceuticals, all the rest of it, that's suddenly going to be confronted by the need for customs declarations, for handing in paperwork, the end of the single market and so on. I mean, just at that particular port there is going to be a major hiatus. So there really will be a short-term and possibly medium and longer-term massive hit, I think, to the British economy.
Meanwhile, Macron says it's not possible to agree to Johnson's demand to scrap the Irish backstop, as it will give EU an unacceptable choice between protecting its internal market or preserving peace in Ireland. Is there a viable solution here?
The viable solution is exactly what's described in Theresa May's compromise. I mean, Theresa May is not a great seller of a deal. Her leadership skills didn't get this over the line. But basically, they spent 2 years hammering away at all the different options. And what they agreed was that the United Kingdom would remain within the customs union pending a technological solution as to how to have the items and lorries going backwards and forwards over that border without having to have an actual physical border. And that compromise is a compromise. That the whole point about compromises, they don't please necessarily either side. But that's really the best deal that's on offer. And I think either Boris Johnson backs down and he accepts that really what Theresa May hammered out was the best thing possible, or they crash out. And I think the problem for Boris is that, of course, he set up the expectations of his own party and his own supporters and the British press to get something out of the EU, and it's simply not going to happen. And time is really running out now.
Now, Professor, the G7 summit in Biarritz this weekend will be Johnson's first appearance on the international stage since he became Prime Minister last month. So what are your expectations out of the summit?
Well, I think he's doing quite well. I mean, he really was a very poor foreign secretary and was really kind of stumbling and mumbling his way through the international communiques and so on. But he's taken it as a very serious issue, is to get on the same page as people like Merkel and Macron. And that's good for the UK, and it's good for future relationships between the UK and continental Europe. The problem is that, you know, that he hasn't got actually anything to offer yet, which is why we've got this kind of, what are you going to do for the next 30 days challenge from Angela Merkel. What's going to be interesting, I think, as well, is the dynamic between Trump and Johnson, because really, if UK is going to fall off the edge, they're going to need the Americans, and Trump is probably going to play quite hardball. I mean, at first, it's going to be an arm around the shoulder and all the rest of it, but he wants British markets open. He wants to break apart the National Health Service. He wants American providers to be able to come in and basically rearrange the political economy of the UK. So I think that's a big challenge for Johnson, is, you know, actually Europe really needs to be on board for whatever plan he's got for the UK, but I suspect he's going to huddle up with Donald Trump.
Thank you so much, Professor. And that was Professor Simon Tomey, a professor of politics at the University of Sydney, giving us his thoughts on Boris Johnson and what he expects out of the G7 summit coming up this weekend, which what he says is quite true. It'll be interesting to see how Johnson goes toe-to-toe with Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is quite an interesting character, and he's generally the rogue element when anyone discusses geopolitics these days.
I don't know, I find them quite similar. You know, their character, the way they kind of bluster
the
through.
Hair, maybe. But anyway, it's interesting how there is a chance that Boris Johnson might fall back to the deal that Theresa May mm-hmm. has drawn instead of his own personal deal at the end of it. Because as he mentioned, as Professor mentioned, that is the viable deal, which is to with the backstop, yep. you just need to introduce tech as an alternative.
And the UK stays within the customs union. And I guess Theresa May maybe just didn't really succeed in selling that deal. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.